a lot of fuck niggas in the club tonight. Fuck 'em, fuck 'em. But it's gonna be alright. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 'Cause me and my clique, we don't give a fuck. We don't give a fuck, nigga. Trick Daddy, you got it.
Somebody that knows somebody that knows something about it. And I won't answer now. Who, what, where, why? See, a lot of dudes like to act the fool. Now I'm getting on live, but that ain't my style. So who he gon' get and what he gon' do? Run up on me if you want to. Hot damn pressing his homies. He's done up in front of his mama. I'll mop up the floor with him. And I kick in the door and let the phone go get him. I got fools that'll go get him. That's for him and the crew and the dude that run with him.
And the killers, and the thugsters, they be fucking up the ballers, and the dealers, and the hustlers. Got me coming at you bogus in the VI, while they bumpin' Lil John. I'm a rusher, it's a psycho nigga twister from Chicago, rollin' with the Miami nigga, better crush him. We already be looking for drama, if a nigga try to get into a witness, then we gotta get him. Feelin' free from the torture that could never be cured, when the real is selling. I'm telling you, trick up and steal him. Got me swinging Chrissy and Hennessy bottles in the club, and my thug homies going for the Skrilla. Don't get it twisted with that overnight celebrity, you better be scared of me in my city, I'm a killer.
Strip, I'm a player, you just a square. See, once that Hennessy into me, the whole industry is my enemy. And you ain't no kin to me or friend to me, bitch, don't pretend to be. See, I'm strictly for the thugs, I'm for the street and straight out the hood. My M.O. is ghetto and I don't even need the gap for you bougie cats. I'm straight out the county day, play on fire, nigga, in my head. You ever come south for the border, first most born, you gon' get slaughtered.
Alright guys, well, the first podcast I put up in a while, that was about everything I've been going through in life. This one right now, we're going to talk about everything and anything. Why? Why the hell not? So, let's first start it off right now. I am a huge wrestling fan to begin with, but like I said earlier in my last podcast, I got into pro wrestling as a manager referee. I'm still in training right now. I am still as green as the fucking grass that's growing in the ground, but let me tell you, I've had some awesome experiences so far, and I met a lot of fucking great people. My trainer Rob, hands down one of the fucking best dudes I know. I gotta give him a shout out right now. But one other thing too is, like, since you're listening to the Bartender's Jukebox podcast, y'all gotta check out my boys of the Three Beards of Wrestling podcast. Those guys right there, they'll talk about indie wrestling, pro wrestling, you name it. If you're a wrestling fan, definitely go check those guys out. They are fucking awesome. So, let's talk about some of the crazy shit going on these days. CM Punk fired from AEW? I don't know. People have their backstories with him. You know, some people think he's a cancer. Fans love him, hate him, whatever. You know what I mean? Either way, it's controversy, and that's what fucking makes the business, right? So you got that in the headlines right now. I see that all over Facebook. You know, CM Punk this, CM Punk that. Really, and I feel it takes away from the fucking product that's already there. You know, because all they're doing is talking about the backstage shit, the backstage shit. I mean, you didn't have that in WWE, and I feel like back in the day, if that bullshit would have happened, they just would have taken it out in the ring and handled their business. So, there's the brief topic of CM Punk and wrestling nowadays. How about this weather today? I mean, Jesus, fuck. It hit like 95 degrees here in Pennsylvania. You know, like, this is insane. Is this global warming thing real? I'm thinking so. I don't know. Like, I have the ability here to get your voice messages on this podcast. So feel free at any point in time to send me a voice message. Any little clips you want on here or whatever, give a shout out. Whatever you want, I got you, fam. So, let's talk about some good shit. What are we going to talk about? Let's see here. Let's see if I can pull a good story and be my brother for one. Because I know the last podcast was a little bit on the downer side of things. And I was trying to uplift people at the same time. I remember one time me and my brother, we went out drinking. We were like 18 at the time. This is the craziest part about it. I was still in high school. Obviously, 18. We got totally wasted at this bowling alley, and me having the ability, at my age, losing my hair, I could go into any six-pack outlet or distributor or bar and get booze. So, I would do that, and then I go to the bowling alley, and I basically lift up the trunk and hang out and have a few beers, or at that time it was St. Ice Special Brew. Yeah. Dear God, I don't miss that shit. Man, we just have a good time. I mean, it was just like our weekend thing, kind of like dazed and confused. Everybody hung out the arcade or bowling alley or whatever. And I just remember, like, we were totally white girl wasted when we left. And we actually had to play, you know, rock, paper, scissors to see who was going to drive the fucking car. He won. Now, my brother, he drove stick shift at the time. I had an automatic. I had a 1980, I think it was 1980 Pontiac T1000. That motherfucker only had AM radio in it. Talk about terrible. But either way, I mean, it got me around and did my thing. But so anyways, we did rock, paper, scissors to see who was going to drive that night. And we're coming up to the stoplight. And he's like freaking out because he won the rock, paper, scissors. And he's like freaking out. And he's like, your car won't stop. Your car won't stop. And I'm like, huh? I like look down and I see he has his foot on both the gas and the brake at the same time, and I had to remind him that it was an automatic car. A whisper slowly coasting through the red light. Oh God, to go back to that time in life and live it up again. Feel fucking be young, dumb, and full of cum. And if only I had the knowledge I had today, maybe I might have made some better decisions, but that's all a life learning lesson, right? You learn from that shit. Well, there, I just sparked up my bad habit of a cigarette. Unfortunately, that's one thing I wish I would have learned. Never fucking pick up a cigarette. But you know what? It is what it is at this point in time. And eventually, once I'm all healed up and ready to take over the world, that's next on my list. But right now, I got to get mentally strong in order to do that. Because, shit, if I didn't have it right now, Lord help the world. So, I haven't given out a recipe in a very long time on here, so let's do that now. I'm actually going to make one up off the top of my head right now, and let's see what we can go with. I do love me a good old-fashioned when I used to drink, so take your favorite whiskey or bourbon. I personally like to use Jefferson Reserve. Take about 2 ounces of that bad boy. Put it in a tin or a cup if you're at home, whatever you got. Now take 2 sliced strawberries. I know, strawberries and whiskey. Let's see where this can go. If you have a little pinch of sugar or a sugar cube, put one of those in there. Muddle them around a little bit. Now, we're going to switch it up just a tiny bit. If you can put a little spray of absinthe in your glass, do that as well. Kind of gives it like a little, I don't know, antiseptic kind of feel to it. Just a little, just open up the nostrils. And then, let's see, what kind of bitters should we use in this? I'm thinking peach bitters. Let's go with peach bitters on this one. About 3 dashes of peach bitters. Stir that up. Make sure you muddle all your stuff first, but then stir it up with ice and strain it. And if you have a little slice of strawberry or whatever, maybe garnish it with that or just put it right on top. And hopefully that'll either refresh you during the summer months or warm you up during the winter months, either or. But you know what we're going to call that? I haven't even named that yet. We're going to call that the Piper, in honor of Roddy Piper. How's that? If you want, switch it up with scotch. All right. So there's finally a recipe I've laid down in a while here on the podcast. And I hope you guys enjoy it. I mean, if you make it, let me know what you think. Like I said, send me a voice message here on the podcast. And let's go from there. Totally always down to give out recipes, create. That is my lingo right there. I've done this for, God, let's see here, almost 23 years now. And it's an ever-evolving business. And that's one of those things that can eventually tell you more and more into the crazy craft cocktails of life. Or we can keep it simple and talk about beer and shots. Or the crazy college shots and stuff like that we used to get back in the day, like brain hemorrhages, buttery nipples, all the basic stuff. Either or. Whatever's going to float your boat, I got you, fam.
Think I'm a pushover? You know what I used to eat for breakfast? Cocaine. You know what I used to eat for lunch? Cocaine.
What'd you have for dinner? Was it cocaine?
So I talked a little bit about my brother earlier, and I'll develop a little bit more into that. So when my parents got divorced, my dad remarried, and me and my fucking he's my stepbrother, but he's my brother, hands down. We hated each other with a fucking passion. I mean, he was in and out of juvie. He was on a reckless path. I was kind of like the quiet, good kid, always trying to keep my shit together, try to get ahead. And we were just fucking oil and water all damn day. We would argue, and then just one day out of the blue, it snapped and we clicked. And my whole goal one time, I was like, all right, this dude's going to make fun of me. I am going to make his mother laugh at him at the dinner table. I'm going to make this fucking happen. And when it did, that was like the changing point between us. So my brother was kind of goofy looking. He had like ears that stuck out, kind of looked like Telly from Kids. And he never knew. I'll get into that story then too. So we're sitting at the dinner table and he's just ragging on me. I just looked at him and I was like, yo, how the fuck do you walk around with those ears? It's like a Spitfire. And then I just kind of like used my ears as wings and went. His mother spit out her food on the table and died laughing. He looked at me flat out and said, you just made my own mother laugh at me. Like, completely shocked. And ever since that very moment, we became best friends. I miss that dude so fucking much. But one thing we've always connected on was music and life and the hardships that we've been through. And no matter what, even though he's not here, I will always look up to that dude. My brother was a fucking lifeline to me in my times of need. So if my stories about talking about him make you laugh, smile, or cheer you up in any way, you know, then I think my job has been done. Part of my reason for doing the pro wrestling thing, like I said in my last podcast, was one day I woke up and I said, what is one thing I haven't done in my life? Well, back at that time, we had this idea, like, I was going to be the wrestler, he was going to be my manager. And we just went with it from there. Like, we had this whole idea planned out. And then me and my old man, we had, like, this huge-ass fucking fight. Like, to the point where I bailed on my family. Like, it was no good. I had to leave that situation for my own stability. I'm going to be real. For my own physical health, my own mental health at that point in time. Because it did get kind of violent. And that dream kind of went by the wayside. After that, I had to figure out how to, like, stand on my own 2 feet and try to figure out life and figure out where I was going. And I had no clue, and it put me into a fucking long, whole depression. But throughout that whole time, my brother would always check with me. You know, being young and dumb, like I always said, I wish I could look back and change things. I was 18 at the time, and I did some dumb shit, and I got in trouble. And the first person to bail me out was my brother. He stuck by my side, and he goes, you know, I wish you would have done this just 1 year ago, because this wouldn't affect you now. And I understand what he's saying now. Back then I didn't. I mean, all I wanted to do, I really just wanted to run the fuck away. Like, I was looking to get a bus ticket and just leave from the fucking area, just to get away from it all. You know, start over. But hell, I didn't know what life was like. I didn't even know I could stand on my own two fucking feet. Now, as life goes on, it makes you who you are, and it molds you into the person that you're gonna become, no matter the trials and tribulations. But all through that time period, my brother was the one that stuck up for me. Well, I love him to death, and without him, I would not be who I am today. So I owe my dude my life, hands down. And I wish I was here. I could say it to his foot, say it right to his face, look him square in the eyes, and be like, I fucking love you, brother. I wish you were here right now.
You gonna lead the vocal in, right? Cheer. Motherfuckers wanna act loco. Hit them up, numerous shots with a fofo. Packers wanna turn the popo, smoke them like cocoa. Fuck rap, coke by the boat low. Fuck that, on the run by a gun high when I close. Let pole do some got clothes. Stop your bullshit, Glock with the full clip. Motherfuckers better duck when the pool spit. One shot can make a nigga do a full flip. Seen a nigga like a shot when the pool hit. Hey, my, how you? No niggas wanna buy you. To see me, I wanna fuck for free. Like I got Nelly. Niggas ride, make you feel it inside your belly. If it's tight, get the KY jelly. All night, get you wide up beside the telly. Side to side, till you say, Jay-Z, you're too much for me.
A little bit of loneliness, a little bit of disregard. Handful of complaints, but I can't help the fact that everyone can see these scars.
I am
what I want you to want, what I want you to feel. And it's like no matter what I do, I can't convince you to just believe this is real. So I let go, watching you turn your back like you always do. Face away and pretend that I'm not. I'll be here cause you're all that I got.
Condoms into the same place with the rhymes have been in. So all I do is rap sex. Imagine how I stroke. See how it's blowing on my last set. Rapping fight like I'm blasting the tech. Never jam though, never get high, never run out of ammo. Niggas hating the shit cause they change your bitch. And now your favorite, I know what made you sick. And now you're half your role, but you never had war. No, not to carry your hoes, wanna marry your hoes. Now she's mad at me cause your majesty just happened to be a pimp with a tragedy. She wants us to end cause I fucked a friend. She gave me one more chance and I fucked up again. I seen the tears and she busted in. I said shit, there's a draft. Shut the door, bitch, come on in.
I am a little bit insecure, I'm a little unconfident. Cause you don't understand, I do what I can, but sometimes it don't make sense.
I am
what you never wanna say, but I've never had a doubt. It's like no matter what I do, I can't convince you for once just to hear me out. So I let go of watching you turn your back like you always do. Face away and pretend that I'm not. I'll be here cause you're all that I got.
So here's a story I normally don't talk about, so you guys will be, I don't know if it's blessed to hear it or what, but it was a dumb point in my life, but this is the telly story about my brother. So, this is like around Easter time, We had gotten into a car accident. I fucked up my neck. I had like severe whiplash from it, and bounced my head off the window. And he felt so bad. I mean, he took me to the hospital, made sure I was taken care of. And I got muscle relaxation at that time. You're on a reckless path when you're young because times are turbulent. Me and him decided to raid my dad's liquor cabinet and take a muscle relaxer or two. And he goes, I don't know why everybody calls me Telly. I never understood it. I was like, yo, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. It smells like butterscotch, yo. And he looks at me and he goes, what the fuck does that mean? I said, let's watch the movie. So the scene came up. He goes, no, I don't look like Telly. I was like, dude, you look and act like him. And ever since that moment, like, I think that might have been a change point for him. Because he was compared to Telly from Kids. But after that, he got his shit straightened out. Fucked around a little bit too much. And then got sent to his grandmother's house. And sorry about that. Did a little quick cut off because a train had gone by as I'm here telling the story. So, like I said, after that, he got in some trouble a little bit. And he got sent off to his grandmother's place. Now, a little bit about his grandmother. She was a veteran of World War II. She was also one of the translators over in Poland, so that way she could decipher codes back and forth between Polish and German language. And she had some crazy clearances that nobody knows about. They're only alluded to it because of how high up she was with being able to translate stuff. So I know she had a big part in World War II, but she looked at him flat out and said, you know what, you're under my house, you're under my rules, you're going to school. And if he slept in, she came up and she would smack him in the face to get him up to go to school. And she says, you have no option. You're either going to graduate and get a real job, or you're going to graduate and go in the army. Well, she sent him to the army, and he did good things. Unfortunately, we'll leave it at that. But, you know, it's just one of the crazy things, you know, how life turns out. Like, he was like, Mr., my shit don't stink, you know, got in trouble. Like, he used to rob and do all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, there are stories that come out now that people tell me about him that back then, like, you either loved him or you hated him. And I kind of get the best of both worlds with him, you know what I mean? I loved and hated him at the same time. But the guy taught me a lot. I know at one point, because of his father not being in his life and abandoning him, he wanted to go on the search to find him. And wherever it took him, I don't know. But I know he ended up down in North Carolina at one point in time. And that's where he stayed. He was happy. He was comfortable with the weather down there. And he just lived life. He was working on fiber optics for Google and stuff like that. Had a huge contract coming his way. And things didn't work out. I think that also took a mental toll on him with everything going on as well. But anytime I needed advice, he would be the realistic one. He'd never hype it up. You know, he wouldn't be like, oh, that's a great idea. He'd be like, all right, well, what are your factors into that? How is that going to work for you? Break it down. And he's the one that actually made me think more clearly and level-headed about things. And that was the part of the growing up part that I didn't realize that I needed. But like I said, everything I went through, I had a reckless past for myself. I mean, once I hit, once I hit 27, I always thought I'd be dead by 27, you know, like Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, all the good ones died at 27. Like, I thought I was going to go down that reckless path and that would be it. But once I didn't, I thought to myself, I got so much more going on for me. So that right there alone is just, I guess, my negative thinking. But when I seen him and I told him that, he goes, you're a fucking idiot for even thinking that way. And I looked at him and was like, you know, you're right. I was. So, I'm going to switch it up here soon in the next clip. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Enjoy some music.
Otto! What?
Where's my cat?
I killed your cat, you druggy bitch.
God, why?
I felt it would bring closure to our relationship.
You killed my...
Your what? Your fucking what? Huh? Your what, bitch? I'll shoot myself in the head. You can tell me that cat's name. Go ahead. Your what? Your precious little...
Give me.
Oh, Jesus, what color was it, bitch?
Don't you fucking yell at her like that, you prick!
Shit, your fat ass, Ravy! I can't buy a pack of smokes without running into 9 guys you fucked!
Alright, so for the next topic of discussion, one clip I've seen online, and I don't know how to feel about this. I don't get into politics whatsoever, so I'm not going to talk Democrat or Republican or any of that bullshit. Like, that's not what this is about. Our country is fucked with our politics anyways, and our government does shit for us, you know. But the clip that I'd seen was President Biden leaning in to a child and saying, "You are one sexy kid," and then realizing he was recorded. I don't know about you. I don't give a fuck who it is. I would be in jail for life as a father, regardless of what. I don't know how this has become tolerable in our society. Like, we have the whole Epstein thing and all that stuff. And, like, it all goes to the wayside. Like, why? You know? And I think right now this topic, too, and I'm going to bring this up because it does deal with children and sex trafficking and stuff like that on that side of things. But right now is September, and it is Childhood Awareness Cancer Month. So, please, guys, if you see anything out there, go over right now, purchase it, be in support of it. You know, my son, he had 2 forms of leukemia, and I am so glad he is here today with us. You know, without that dude right there, some days I'd go fucking nuts. And I gotta be real with you guys, I commercialize so much with breast cancer awareness and stuff like that. Every time I see September comes around, I see this pink crap come out. And I think with breast cancer awareness, like, it's such a money-mongering thing. And I'm not saying that it's not a bad thing with breast cancer, because it is something that is bad. But the commercialization of it is so fucking horrible. It's unbelievable. Everybody wants to get a piece of a pie of tragedy, and it fucking sucks. So if you're in Pennsylvania and you see those kids out there from Penn State and their cannon and stuff like that, that goes to a thing called THON and the Four Diamonds Fund. And what they do is they take all those donations and money and they put it into a fund to help parents not have to pay for medical treatments, not have to pay for any medicines or anything like that. They take care of it 100%, and without those people right there, we would not have our kids here today that are fighting those battles. And those warriors are stronger than us adults in any way, shape, or form. They haven't had a chance to live their life, but we have. So if we, the people, can stand up for them, to give them a quality of life that we were at least able to enjoy, no matter how shitty our lives were, excuse me, as I have another smoker's cough there, you know, it's the least we can do. We can stand up for those kids and give them all the help that they need to fight their battle. That long story short, they didn't have a choice for. So, if you see those kids out in Pennsylvania cannon, whatever you got, even if it's a few pennies, it helps save lives. And it helps give those kids a fighting chance. So, but back to the Epstein thing and Biden thing. I just don't get that. Like, when did it become so tolerable here in the United States? Like, it's okay, like, we make this big fucking grandeur and put it on the news of, like, all the things going on, and then all of a sudden, like, it just goes out of the blue. Like, I don't fucking get it. And it ties into the politics and stuff like that. Like, somehow, some way, I don't get that. But yet, somehow in our society, we can just get, oh, this is going on, and then all of a sudden, like, it just disappears, and everybody fucking forgets about that. I don't know. Something ain't right about that. I think that's something that needs to be stuck in people's minds, that this shit is going on. And it's very fucking real. It is very real, like the fucking drug epidemics. Like, if you go down to Kingston and Philadelphia and you see all the zombies trying to hold themselves stealth up, just, it's fucking horrible, man. You know, like, the crazy world we live in nowadays, it just makes no sense. And you might hear a cricket in the background here because I am outside enjoying the finally coolish weather. And since right now it doesn't feel like Satan's asshole outside, thank God for that. But I think I sweated about 20 pounds off earlier today just trying to have a cigarette. And I know I shouldn't smoke and all that bullshit, but right now with the stress in my life, I mean, it's no excuse. I know I need to quit. But if I didn't have it right now, I would not see the light of day outside, because I've been stuck in the house for 2 damn months. And I can't wait to get on the farm and get that shit going. I can't wait to get to a show this weekend and actually hang out with my brothers and sisters at this wrestling event in Harrisburg, September 9th. So if you're in the area, look up CCW, Classic Championship Wrestling, on Facebook. Find our events and all that good shit, man. Like, come out, support indie wrestling. You know, you got a lot of young men and women out there that are getting into this business, and you know, the best thing to do is just go out and support them. You know, it's a business where they put their bodies on the line just to entertain you, and the least we can do is just give them that courtesy of watching them. You know, it's not like going to a WWE event or an AEW event where you got to spend 60, 70, 80, hundreds of dollars. You know, might be 10, 20 bucks. But give my brothers and sisters some support. It doesn't matter if it's CCW. No matter where you're at in the world. I don't give a fuck where you're at in the world. I have listeners that were from Germany, Brazil, Italy, all kinds of places when I was doing this before, when I was just doing the music. But right now, I'm bringing up the topic of indie professional wrestling. No matter where you're at in the world, you know, it's an art form. And, you know, give them men and women that credit, you know. Help them out. I know I jumped around back and forth here between wrestling, child sex trafficking, politics a little bit, and the president. But you know what? This is my fucking podcast. I'm going to say what the fuck I want right now. And excuse my language, because I think I finally hit my breaking point where I just don't give a shit what anybody thinks about me anymore. And I don't fucking care. I think most of my life I went to the point where I always had to like have this image of like upstanding to people and stuff like that. Let me be real with you guys. I'll do anything I can for anybody. You either take me as I am, and if you don't like it, kick dirt. Just the way it goes. I do want to give a huge shout out though to everybody that has shared this podcast. Got my name out there. Without you guys, I'd be nothing. So let's be real about it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your continued support. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for getting my name out there, because you guys fucking rock. I mean, I think there might be an ambulance off in the background there. Uh-oh, they're coming to get me. I don't know. Either way. So, let's pick another topic to touch on here. All right, let me see if I get a... let's hit the memory bank here and see if I can pull out an old bartending story. Alright. Oh. This might be illegal. I don't know. The cops are coming here on this one. Sounds like you're in the background. Alright. So there was this one night at the bar. And there was this one guy. We used to call him Lunchbox. I mean, he was short, heavy set. And a little on the crazy side. Now there was this other guy, Mike, sitting next to him, and this drunk girl on the other side of Lunchbox. Somehow or another, these two connected, but they didn't get up from their chairs. Nope. They decided to make out over Lunchbox while he was smoking. Now this is going back when you could smoke in a bar. I just remember Lunchbox sitting back, smoking a cigarette in his left hand, beer in the right hand, and just letting it go while these two fucking made out literally over top of him while he's sitting at the bar. I wish I had you know, the camera on the phone back then, because I definitely would have taken a picture of it. Like, he just didn't give a fuck. Like, whatever. I casually just sat there. I mean, I served him a beer over top of him like nothing ever happened. And it was just, yeah, fucking crazy. Lunchbox, was, and how we got the name, something about a door, the Explorer Lunchbox, or whatever he was talking about. The name just stuck with him. The guy never had a shirt that had sleeves. Always had a sleeveless shirt. You gave him a t-shirt, sleeves were off. Year-round, didn't matter when. It could be snowing out, and he would have a sleeveless shirt on. He had pants on, but he'd always have that sleeveless shirt on. He was a fucking nut. Now, I hope one day I get to reconnect with him, because that was one cool dude. Unfortunately, his brother passed away. Me and him were roommates at one time. And his brother went down the path of alcoholism. And God rest his soul. I mean, I love Brian to death, and I miss him dearly. And I hope wherever he's at, he's got his devil horns up, listening to Iron Maiden, and just looking down on us, you know. So Brian, if you're up there, fucking keep it real, brother. Keep it real. All right, what next to talk about? Let's see here. I can give you another story here, but I got, like I said, I got to dig back into the memory vault. All right, here's one. Now, this one here might be a little disturbing to some, and I don't know how to really come off of this story, so I'm just gonna wing it here. One club I was working at one time, it was a Spanish club, I'd say, but we got a variety of clientele that came in. We used to have a big lesbian clientele used to come in, and the way the bar was set up, excuse me again, was the stalls had curtains. They didn't have actual doors. So I'm back behind the bar doing my thing, not paying attention to what's going on. This girl comes out and she's like, "Yo, you gotta come check this out." I'm like, "What?" She's like, "Just come here. You gotta come check this out." All right, let me get down and dirty with this. Let me see what's going on. So I peeked my head in the bathroom, unfortunately, and I don't know why I did this. There was two ladies going at it, probably, I'd say a combined weight of 600 pounds. One was going down on the other. Now, when you're that kind of size, you have to move body parts out of the way. Well, let's just say the one going to town underneath was holding up the gut like it was a roof. I don't know how to best describe that, but again, I want you to visualize that because I had to see that firsthand. And I hope really that just clicks with you. And you just leave me a voice message going, "What the fuck did you just put in my head?" And you can do that. Leave me a voice message here on the Bartender's Juice Box. You want to give me a shout out, you want to talk some shit, whatever it is, throw it in there. I'll put it on here. Why? Because all motherfuckers are great to me, and I love the shit out of you. So, let me throw in a song here.
Anyway, I'm going to live to be 120. I'm doing everything I can. I'm going to live to be 120. I tell you young people, boy, drugs and longevity doesn't mix. Leave that crack alone, heroin, methamphetamine, ecstasy, all that shit. People still smoking weed. I don't fuck with it no more, but y'all go ahead. I drank my fucking wine. I was so fucked up New Year's Eve, I'm gonna stop drinking too. I gotta stop drinking shit. I ain't never been this fucked up. I was drinking Merlot wine and topping it off with Crown Royal. Ooh, I was fucked up. And women got the nerve to get in my face, but give me that New Year's resolution. They all drunk too. All in my face. I'm gonna lose some weight. I said, "You ain't gonna do shit." Simple mathematics. If you're big bone, you're gonna be a full figure person. Ain't nothing wrong with being a full figure person. That's right. A lot of big, beautiful people walking around. If you got a big ass, listen to me. Be proud of your big ass. It took a long time to build that big thing. Let that big ass bounce around and be free. Look, boom, boom, boom. And women try to hide the ass. You ever see a woman trying to hide her ass with a big sweater pants and kneecap, big old fucking sweater? I can go outside, can't nobody see my big ass. I'm going outside right now, can't nobody see my big ass. You know what it look like when they walk outside? A big ass with a sweater on top. Live to be 120. I'm doing everything I can. Look at my hair. You know my hair is not supposed to be this black at my age. Come on. A lot of people lie about dying in hell. Hell yeah, I dye my hair. And I'm gonna dye this shit to the burn off my fucking head. But I get professional help. I don't dye my own hair anymore. Mm-mm. You trying to dye your own hair? You been listening to me? Tell your father and mother. Read those instructions good. And when they say rinse that dye out of your hair in 30 minutes, rinse it out of your head. Don't wait till the end of the football game like I did. I kept that shit on my head for 6 hours. I had coal black hair and coal black ears and coal black lines all over my fucking face. Looked like I had a camouflage on my fucking feet. You keep down your head for 6 hours, boy, that sucker stay there, boy. I tried everything in the house to get it off. I tried everything. I tried Ajax and Ajax and Comet and some Rillo pads and Rinso bleach. Trying to look young, see? Quest to look young. That's my thing. I had a earring put in my ear. And the earring put in. I said, little girl, I want to be hip-hop pops, you know? They got a little gun that's shooting your fucking ear. And she said, Mr. Witherspoon, there's going to be a little sting. I said, oh, little, you little sweet thing. Come on, baby, don't worry about that. Come on, sugar dumpling. Come on, baby, put a hold of my ear. Come on, baby. Bitch, there ain't no fucking sting. Fuck you just do to me. It went to my ear and came out the other side. Trying to look young. And you young people, let me tell you another thing, boy, very important. Take pictures of your feet right now. So you can show your friends when you get old how your feet used to look. They gonna turn on your ass. I gotta cut my toenail with industrial toenail clippers. That damn thing so strong it cut wood and lobster tail. And somebody had the nerve to give me a coupon for a pedicure on April Fool's Day. I ain't never had no pedicure in my life. So let me try a pedicure. I went to the lady's shop. She said, Mrs. Witherspoon, sit down, I'll be right back. She said, when you come back, you're supposed to put your foot up on her chair. And she started working on your damn feet. I put my foot up there, she looked down, she said, ah! I cannot do nothing for you. It's too late, it's too late. Your toenail look like burnt fortune cookie. Trying to look young. Trying to look young. What the fuck wrong with you?
Okay, here's a topic that most people can be very weird about because we're going through that pandemic of 2020. I mean, it all took a toll on all of us. I mean, people have their theories on the shots and stuff like that. And whatnot. My personal thing, ever since getting the shot, I do feel like I've been getting sicker more often. And I know a lot of other people have felt the same way. We all try to do the right thing in those moments. And some people stood their ground with it. Some people, you know, that was just a hell of a time for everybody. The pandemic, I mean, anybody that's made it through that and stayed strong, you know what I mean? I got pride in you. I know during that time I was breaking myself a little bit, little by little. But yeah, ever since that. And look, I heard a rumor too that coming up there's another variant that's up in Canada. Like, are we headed into another pandemic, another lockdown? I mean, there's so much crazy shit going on with that. Like, I don't even know if you got a point of view on that or whatever, and you want to express it. Like I said, shoot the message. You know, we can bullshit about it all you want. If you don't even want to be on the podcast, you know, if you got my personal number or you got me on Facebook, hit me up there. Let's do it to it. Let's get this going. So, but yeah, that's the whole COVID thing right there. And I don't know, this whole variant. I just keep reading stuff about it, and like you wonder where it goes from here, like. I've seen people die from it, you know. Is it real? Isn't it real? Who the fuck knows? All I know is we were in turmoil at that moment, in the ways of the world. All right, so enough about COVID and all that crap. I don't want to bring you all down in this. All right, here's something to talk about. Guy Woods told me one time what I was asking about. You know, being a pro wrestling manager. Like, why is it important? And he told me, he goes, look back to the days of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant and the Heenan family. I said, all right. And he goes, do you think Hulk Hogan would be as big if he didn't go against the Heenan family? I said, no. He goes, right there. He goes, Heenan was the guy that threw everybody at Hulk Hogan so he could defeat him and make this big star, and it made sense to me. Like, And from there, that just clicked. Like, you know, I can't wait to get farther and farther into the, to being a manager. Like, the psychology of it, you know, I just leave it at that. I ain't going into any more detail, but I can't wait to get more and more involved in that. So, if you're into wrestling, who was your favorite wrestler growing up? I got a few. Bam Bam Bigelow, one of my favorite big men of all time, hands down. I thought the dude was great. You know, also liked RVD because he has a different style. Currently, right now, I'm digging, though, I got to give it to Swerve Strickland. I'm digging his new vibe. Like, it's a different style of the bad guy. We'll just leave it at that. You know, but that Swerve Strickland, I think that's my dude right now. Yeah, like I said, comment, tell me who your guy is right now. Let's switch it to music now. All right, so you're driving in the car. What's on your playlist? For me personally, if it's a summer day, I can go from like classic rock, mix in a little Steve Miller Band in there, but you got to throw Nas in there on top of it. Like, I have such a wide range of music that I just fucking love, because music has been a passion in my life. Can't play a lick. I mean, I got shit rhythm, but I know what got me through in life. I know music was there for me when nobody else was. So what are some of your songs, some of your artists and stuff like that you go to, that you like, to help you either get through something, or if it's just a summer day or whatever, you're outside chilling. I mean, like I said, for me, I could go from Steve Miller Band to Nas during the summer months. I mean, there's no range for me. I even like country music, and some people out there, I've turned them on to the term hick hop, that they find funny and hilarious. In the last podcast, I did put on a song by the Nappy Roots. It was a remixed cover of Dixieland Delight by Alabama and them. And that's kind of like me and my wife's song right now, because, you know, we got this farm up in the mountains and stuff like that. And I always say to her, I was like, man, this mountain ain't gonna know what hit us when we get up here. So we've just been thankful, blessed, and loving the direction that's going in right now. You know, anybody that knows me, or you're on my Facebook or whatever, and once we get this farm up and running, if you need produce, if you need whatever, you know, especially when times are tough coming up, we got you. You know, don't hesitate to reach out to us, and, you know, we can set something up. You know, if those grocery store prices are a little too tough on you, maybe we can work something out. But we live in this world, and it's all about helping others, and we all got to eat somehow. And if we can help a little bit, that'll be us.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the Gap Patrol. Foes that want to make sure my casket's closed. Rap critics to say he's money cash hoes. I'm from the hood, stupid, what type of facts are those? If you grew up with hoes in your zapper toes, you celebrate the minute you was having dough. I'm like, fuck critics, you can kiss my whole asshole. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. Got beef with radio if I don't play they show. They don't play my head. Well, I don't give a shit, so what?
With the D-O-double-G, straight off them killer streets of CPT. Flash. King of the beach, you ride to him in your fleet. Wood, Coupe de Ville, rolling on dubs. How you feel? Whoop-de-whoop. Dream Snoop hitting colors in the lag. With Doc in the back, sipping on yak. Clipping all the amps, dipping through hood. Compton, Long Beach, Inglewood. South Central out to the west side. It's California love, it's California bug. Got your boy a gang of pubs. I'm on one, I might bell up in the Century Club. With my jeans on, and my team strong. Get my drink on, and my smoke on. Then go home with something to poke on. Locus song for the 2-0-0. Coming real in the next episode.
Everybody love me, I'm so fly. Need to throw the boots every time I ride. I know you wonder why I'm so cool. Don't ask me, just
one thing that fascinates me in my downtime is the paranormal and ghosts. I do dig that stuff. I mean, some people don't, it may not be their thing, but a couple of years ago, my wife took me down to Gettysburg and we did ghost hunting and all that other stuff. The one thing that stands out in my mind during that trip, I mean, the ghost hunting was great and stuff like that, and seeing the old stuff and going to the old town. But was, so have you ever seen the T-Rexes, like the trikes or whatever? They got two wheels in the front, one in the back. There was a rental spot there that you could actually drive through the battlefields and then drive through the town. Now, this thing sounded like a burning lawnmower going off the fucking rails, like when you drove it. And it only got like a top speed of like maybe 35, 40 miles an hour. So every time we like pulled up to a light or something, I'd sit there and rev the engine, and my wife would look at me and be like, not necessary. So as we're coming through Gettysburg, I'm like weaving in at cars and stuff like that. Just enjoying the shit out of it. And that was like one of the best gifts ever that my wife has given me, or anybody in this lifetime has given me. So Nelly, if you're listening to this, I just want to give you a huge shout out for that crazy time in Gettysburg when we got to to ride the mini T-Rexes around the battlefields. That was the hell of an epic time. And I want to do that again with her, and even take my kids, and maybe we can drag race through the battlefields. I think that would be a kick-ass idea. All right, let's see. On to the next topic. That was just a random story. But yeah, ghosts and stuff like that. I mean, if you have any ghostly stories or paranormal stuff you want to talk about, please don't hesitate. Just shoot me a line. We can talk about anything and everything on this damn podcast. I really don't give a flying fuck. You're having a bad day at work and you want to talk shit on your boss? Fuck. Let's have it. You know what I mean? I'll listen to you. I'll listen to you 100%. We'll figure it out. We'll talk shit together. Why? Because that's just what we do. Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, anything you want to talk about, I'm always down for that. Let's see if I can find another good story in the memory bank here of life. Let's see. So many stories up in this damn brain of mine. It gets fogged up sometimes. Alright, I'll tell you a hunting story about me and my Uncle Barry. God rest his soul. I lost him right around the same time my brother. He had a lymphoma. He was one of those guys, though, that I learned so much in life from outdoors, you know, hunting, fishing, life in general. He was a cook in the Army during Vietnam. And, you know, he told me all the war stories about, you know, hooking up with, well, whatever happened over in Vietnam during those times. I'll leave you to connect the dots there and some of the crazy stories that went with it. He did tell me the one time he did get off base and he almost got arrested because he stole one of the vehicles to go to a whorehouse. And apparently, one of the ladies, men came to try to find him. When he told me the story, it sounded like something out of Rambo. Nobody died whatsoever in that situation. But he said, luckily and fortunately, he did not get arrested and everything worked out. But the details of that story I can't completely go into, but I'll leave you piecing things together because that's just, I think it's just better off that way. But that guy taught me so much about life. He lost his wife, my Aunt Marlene, and I have so much respect for my uncle. In the environment he grew up, times were different. He married a Jewish lady, and my Aunt Marlene, and, you know, he stood his ground with everything. His parents didn't like it. You know, my grandparents, they were kind of assholes, but he did everything he could for his family. He loved my Aunt Marlene to death, and sadly, she passed away in the 80s, and he never got married. He always passed her grave every single day, and at one point in time, my Aunt Marlene was the chief financial officer for the Carroll Corporation, Burger King, more or less. And that lady was a whiz with finances, let me tell you. God rest her soul. I miss her dearly. If I could go back and have one more conversation, I would give anything for that. I mean, it's been forever since I've seen that lady. But my uncle, good God, I miss that man. in 5 minutes, he would hear about my whole year. He wouldn't get to talk, and he cherished every moment of it. He was just a hell of a guy. You know, anytime we were around, he would just tell, he'd tell us hunting stories. Back when he was a kid, like, one of the stories, and he goes, you know, I wish I would have stuck with this. My grandmother wanted him to rake leaves. So, what did he do at that time? And this is probably around 1966. He decided he was going to take the vacuum cleaner from inside and go out and sweep up those leaves. Well, that didn't make my grandmother happy by any means whatsoever. She came out of the house with a broom and chased him around the house. And the way he told this story was so animated. He goes, man, I was running around the house. I probably did about 4 or 5 laps. And he said, yep. And Mom got wise of it. She stopped. Apparently, when he came around the corner, she baseball swung the broom, smacked him square in the face, and dropped him on his ass. But it's still to this, I mean, it's one of the great stories to hear that he used to tell, but he kicks himself in the ass because he said, at that moment in time, there was no such thing as a leaf blower, and he was onto something. You know what? He was fucking right. He was onto something. He really was. Oh, God rest his soul. I miss that, man.
Rhyme style murderer, executioners cutting things you never heard of. Flip new beats, never once flipped a burger, but a flame broil and still remain royal on the hip hop throne amongst kings. I've been doing it. Rock, Rob, Joe, and Big E is one unit. Supreme force, ever since main source, my nigga. Shit, I have your ass drunk like liquor in a stupor. Got to stay super with the cash flow. Never bashful, here's what you ask for. The best DJs in the world today. Cutting up Rock the Bells, LL Cool J, and many more. Robbie Swift, Annie Raw, Rock Raider, number one chop innovator. Total eclipse, man, you know that he flips as he diminished the record like my man Joe Sinister. I'ma lay back and watch him bless the track for the hip hop world, cause these brothers don't slack. They always coming with the up to par. You could call executioners the best by far. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yo, I take you back to the caveman era. Survival and how to live, always I get better. I'm too deep to peek, rock niggas in sleep. I'm like a four-star general, out in the street. Keep my business low, represent cash flow. Busting loose like Chuck Brown to get that dough. Most of y'all could tell I come from the ghetto. 8 blocks from Flushing Meadow, where my family settled. Got Chinese, Korean, Asian. Used to link up with Nas, recording Top Choice of Female Persuasion. Busting off in the park. That was in the dark. I'm real, not fake, so please don't pretend to part. I'm letting it start, the glamour, the bucks. Gotta get mine, cause P got stamina and guts. Plus the fat beat, plus the rhymes, plus the cuts. Yeah. Executioners rocking the track. Coming through with the hefty scratch. The cuts galore. More than bargain for. All over the world. Tri-state, every 5 boroughs. Yeah. Hold up, man. These brothers been doing this for a minute, man. Getting busy, man. Just cutting them up, man. Chopping them, slicing them. That's the original essence of hip hop, you know what I'm saying? These niggas just getting busy and shit. 2 turntables, that's how it started. 2 turntables and a microphone. Executioners keeping the foundation strong.
Thank you guys for lasting almost an hour here with me. Maybe a little bit longer. I greatly appreciate that. You know, I'm telling all my random stories and stuff like that and bullshitting on this podcast for a change. Before, I kind of really didn't know the direction I want to go, and I think this time I'm just going to talk about everything and anything. I really don't care anymore. You know, I think that's the button I push anymore. Like, it's going to be my own format, and I'm going to say whatever the hell I want and do what I want. So, again, thank you guys for listening. If you ever want to join me on this crazy ride, I fucking encourage it 100%. You know, like I said, the first podcast I talked about depression and stuff like that. And in the end, this is the last time I'll talk about it on this part of the podcast. You know, if you need help, if there's a point in your life where you feel like you are hopeless, please, 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 please reach out here to the Bartender's Jukebox Podcast, and I'll be more than happy to listen to you. And we can even do an episode too, and we can talk about mental health and things that help that to get you through it. Like I said, I know I was in a dark place there for these past few months, and just the reach out and connections I've made from people that were complete strangers to me, you know, and some people that I knew that we didn't talk on a regular basis have really stepped up, and for that, I thank you guys. If you're listening to this, 100%, and I'd like to reciprocate and be there for you all. So, again, that's that. I just want to say thank you, and if you want to talk about that at any point in time, we can. I think I'm going to probably close out this podcast right now. Just enjoying the crickets out back, you know, on this nice cool night. And like I said, I hope you enjoyed this style, this format, you know, because like I said, I'm going to be doing more of it this way. And we could pick random topics anytime, but there is so much shit in my head that I think needs to come out on a day-to-day basis that I really don't let out, and be it good, bad, or ugly. You know what I mean? You guys are here along for the ride with me, and I appreciate that. So, yeah. Like I always say, my friends, stay thirsty for music, but also stay thirsty for life, stay thirsty for your passions, and stay thirsty for humanity. Like, help your brothers and sisters out there, no matter what. Let's lift each other up instead of putting everybody down. You know what I mean? We are as one on this world, and let's live that way. Let's stay united. Let's lift each other up. So just stay thirsty for everything. Peace and love, my friends. Cheers.
Hey, yo, Jim, man, won't you kick some of that, you know? You know how you do it, man. It's a trip. People don't even believe we're together right now. But tell your story. You know the one I like. Right. Say it for me.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out on loan. Riders on the storm. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. You give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road. Yeah.
Going off of this, going off of that. With the Lizard King bumping in the back. How about that? Drifting, lifting, swifting, coasting, testa roasting. But the wheels won't stop. 200 on the highway, fresh up off the block. He's a rider, nah, he's a killer. Dressed in all black, but his hat says Stella. Pedal to the metal. I gotta go hard, drive by and say hello. Hey, Fred Wreck, you my mellow. Now let me hear what I sound like acapella. Roll, ride, dip, sweat. Now bring it back, just like this. Like a dog, without his bone. Or like a G, without his chrome. It's hard to imagine. The homie dog in the jag, and he checking for the checkered flag. Coming in first, never in last. Cause my car too fast. I never ever run out of gas. Cause I'm just too clean, I do it upper class. So fast in your seatbelts. It's so hot, it'll even make heat melt. So get aboard and roll and ride. Slip through the
like
storm.
Like a dog without a bone. An actor out alone. Riders on the storm. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road, yeah. Whoa. Away in India.
Need for speed, I'm trying to take the lead. Hold on, little homie, for you run into the trees. I see things that I never would've saw before. Hey, yo, Jim, let him in, let him in. Open up, my back tire smoking up the whole street. And now the police wanna flash their lights and chase the dog all night. But I won't pull over, nor give up, cause I just don't give up. Yeah, I'm from the side, boy, where we was born and raised. Straight up to ride, boy. Continuously, we get to it expeditiously. Keep the light on, east side on, Snoop Dogg in the Doors, and yeah, we bout to ride.
Riders on the storm, riders on the storm. Into this house we're born.